Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. It is, today's date is December the 5th, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to doing that and bringing that to you. So at any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And I will see you in queue and will definitely bring you up so that you can express what it is that you would like to express. If you have an opinion, you make a comment, you can definitely do that there. So let me get situated here. And we're going to jump into today's show. And today's show is, one second, I just had it and I lost it. Here it is. Okay, here we go. So today's show, just bear with me, y'all. Today's show is a great window of opportunity is coming, so let's start building it. So let's start building for it now. So that's today's show. And just want to thank you all for being here. And you need to take care of a couple of administrative things before we get going in today's show. And that's very, very important. And some of the administrative things that we need to discuss is us continuing our support of Black Talk Radio Network. And you can easily do that by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And once you're there, then find the donation prompt and give some of your financial energy so the network can continue to stay on air. And my man, Pastor Keith, is just showing up in the building. So definitely. You might want to close that door, Keith.
I'll tell him.
Pretty cold. Brother. So thank you. One second.
Okay, that will do. All right, see.
So thanks, Keith. So if you would, definitely find a donation prompt for Black Talk Radio Network. Hit it. Give some of your financial energy so this network can stay on air. And that will definitely mean that we'll be able to continue to expand upon and build on what is going to be so, so important, especially in today's world. So please do that. You can also support the network by being a member inside of its social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. Simply go to www.btrcommunity. And once you are there, here you go, Keith. Might want to use this. And once you're there, then become a member for only $24 a year. And then that membership will support this network. And then you can post things that you would otherwise post in FedBook, Keith's favorite place to to engage in conversation and gossip and everything else. And so you can actually, instead of doing it there, you can do it in a more holistic way by, and the reason why that's more holistic, because you don't have to worry about your identity being stolen. You don't have to worry about a lot of the overall data mining issues that you have with FedBook. So please definitely do that. Let me get my man. There we go. Scotty was just busy doing a couple of things. So definitely please do that. Become a member inside the BTR community, $24 a year to support the network. Keith, we need to make our, remind me, I need to make my donation to BTR community today. Please try to remember that. And I'm asking, somebody is going to forget. Sometimes he asks me, have you seen my headphones? Yeah, they're around your neck. So, but we will definitely do that. So also everyone, very, very, very important. There is going to be a limited amount of time, in my opinion, that you will have to be able to acquire real money. And that window is going to be closing. And so make sure that you actually go to Prosperity Mint, www.prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory. But before you purchase anything, please email info@prosperitymint first. info@prosperitymint.com. is what you want to do first, okay? And then say, hey, okay, got you, Scotty. So say, hey, please, say, I'm a Tando Radio Show listener. Dave from Tando Radio Show told me to contact. I would like to acquire some medals. Then someone will get in contact with you, and then when they get in contact with you, please follow the overall directions, because they're not going to use your information for any sales pitch or anything like that at all. What it is there is it's for your best interest, so that they will make sure that you understand what you're getting into and the how to acquire the precious metals correctly, okay? Very, very important. It's for your best interest to do that, all right? So please follow that and then get back in contact with them. Let me go to my man, Scotty. Scotty wants to share something real quick. So go ahead, Scotty. I don't want to keep you because I know you got some things you got to do. Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Yesterday, you shared the article about the French protests, right, that's going on in France right now over the tax increase. I was reading more about it yesterday, man, and I didn't know that gas was like $7 a gallon over there, man. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Scotty.
But I was getting more details, and it's not, I mean, some people are protesting, but a lot of people are rioting. The police are calling for the army to be deployed, and they're describing it in terms of pre-revolutionary crisis.
Yes.
And it's not just because of the tax increase. That seems to be like the latest thing that this president has done that has attacked working class people or made it harder for working class people. And I guess, you know, they was like, look, this is the final straw. And so, you know, but they said that he's basically been implementing austerity measures. Doing some of the same stuff that Donald Trump does, even though they try to act like they don't like each other or whatnot. But he seems to be the type of president that's for the wealthy, 1%, cutting their taxes while also gutting social safety net programs, the civil service jobs and things of that nature. And so I just wanted to share with you. I didn't know if you knew, because I didn't have that background information. It just seemed like this latest taxation is just sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back with the working class people over there. That's all I wanted to share.
And I'm glad I saw the posting that you had, Scotty. Yeah, and it's so, so true, because that's so, so true, Scotty, because of this. It's a lot going, you know, Europe pays a whole lot for gas, and they don't get it by the gallon in most places. They get it by the liter in a lot of places. And it's extremely, extremely high. And what this is really being touted as is like we said yesterday, as the European Spring, like when there was the Arab Spring in Tunisia. So, yeah, it has a whole lot more to do with just gas. And it has a lot to do with, like you said, the austerity measures is a part of the background and everything else. And in my opinion, some of it is also being put together by provocateurs because they have it's the right time to do it because the people are fed up there with that. And so it's going to have some real, real legs because they're starting to break out the guillotine in different places. So, yeah, that thing is, and I think that's going to be replicated in different parts of Europe and in actually may even see it in Asia. Excuse me, definitely you'll see it in Asia. You see it in Russia. You'll see it in South America, and you'll see it here in Central and in North America. It's going to definitely take hold. So it's a significant thing that we all need to know about. So yes, Scotty, and I saw the posting that you had, and it was a good one. So a lot's going on in the world, and we need to really be mindful of it. I got kicked out my plug to the internet, so I had to reboot everything. So bear with me, everyone. I can't even get into. Give me a second to get into what's in the news. But yeah, Scotty, very, very significant. And it's I think that it was the best way it's been classified is as the Europeans or the French Spring, like the Arab Spring that started off in Tunisia. And it's definitely going to follow that overall or could follow that overall trend and with some significant stuff. So, and I think it's good for us to know about it, talk about it, and be about it from the standpoint of knowing exactly what's going on so we can put ourselves in a better position at the appropriate time. So just bear with me, everyone. Hopefully my computer will reboot relatively quickly. That's what I get for having these big feet. And so I kicked out the... Okay, here we go. Going to take it a second and then be able to get back on. So in the meantime... we got a lot of stuff for you today. And today's show, I really want to discuss and think about. I would love to hear from some of you on what you think that we could reform. I'm going to give some of my opinions and Keith will give some of his. He's here in studio in between him playing his video games, which Pastor Keith is a video game junkie. He really is. And so he's got that social disorder of not being sociable because he's too busy trying to get his beat his new high score. So we're going to try to help him to wean him and rehab him from his addiction, his love affair that he has with his darn games on his phone. So just bear with me. It may be difficult to do. He's trying to break it right now, but he's fighting me and fighting it. Nope, I guess the game won. So that's what's happening. Yeah, so... we need to talk about that too, Keith. So just hold on to that, please, because that's real significant. We need to do that. All right, so got everything back up, and we're going to get into what's in the news. Well, let me first get back in the overall conference room. One second before I jump the gun here. Okay, good. So I can jump. All right, so let me try to get to what's in the news real quickly. And... going to take me a second, you all. Sorry about that. Okay, so let me see what I can do to help it out here. Got so many windows open, got to close some of these windows. All right, so, oh boy, this is going to take a little bit. Let me go to I'm going to go look at it through my phone, and so, because I don't want to hold up the show. Can't hold up the show. So I'm going to grab it through my phone, which will be a whole lot quicker. And then we can get going in today's show. Anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number to reach us. We'd love to hear from you and participate in today's show. if at all possible, because I think it's very important. We'd love to hear what you think about a lot of things that's going on. So, oh, we got to log back in there. All right. So, I am, everything is caught up. What's that, Keith? I'll give it to you. Oh, wolf6pack1@gmail. So, here we go. I am somewhat back online. And see if it puts me back in a different spot. You know, sorry about that. I truly, truly do apologize and for that. All right, so let me try to remember what were some of the things that was within the news. Instead of doing that, I'm going to just wait and then just fill this time up with me blabbing until that, it's coming up, so I don't have to book. I don't have to do that. All right, so here we go. So here's what's in the news. First article I got was from, let me refresh this because got some new ones that's there. Make sure I got the newest ones. And today's show is a great window of opportunity is coming, so let's start building for it now. And I think that's very, very important. And so we'll focus on some of those things. And today I want to talk about what some of the things that you think that we should be doing to make some meaningful change, okay? And I'm just going to set the parameters. Please try for it to be as original as you possibly can have it. Meaning this: what we don't want to do is we don't want to have the overall same energy that has. We don't want to become what we had to endure. So the system has actually psychologically and so many just through overall integrated and domesticated us to have a systematic thought process, a systematic thought process that's their system, and we automatically think within those confines for solutions. Let's not use that in which what we've been actually taught and domesticated to our own demise style. Let's try to come up with something that's definitely childlike. What I mean by childlike, simplistic, sincere, and natural. As children, when they first meet each other with no adult influence and everything else, they have a different response to each other. So let's try to think outside of the systematic box. If we may, in coming up with solutions with some things. And so I'm going to give some opinions on that. But if you want to have the systematic way as well, that's cool, because every person we have a lot of that. And, you know, for me, that's not the solution to it all. So I would love for the sincere thoughts of individuals to start to be cultivated, and we start cultivating it within ourselves first and foremost. So that's what we're going to do. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
I think the only problem with that, I think you're hitting nail on head. But I think for the most part, what you're talking about falls back into that ballpark where you're talking about how do you fix what you don't know is broken.
Yes.
I would think that the first thing you have to do is start to educate yourself on how we're conditioned and don't even know it. One of the first books that I read that would fall into that line of category that opened a whole lot of stuff for me was The Miseducation of the American Negro.
Yes.
And what that did is that showed how getting an education over here actually conditions you, I think the word you were saying, mm-hmm. actually conditions us, I should say, to basically go back and take advantage of our own people. So that the education educated you, the education showed you how to be successful, it schooled you.
Yeah.
But by the same time, it schooled you in a way to take advantage and to subjugate our own people the way that they're doing.
Yeah.
How are we aware of that? We're not.
Yeah.
Unless that's pointed out to us. And I think I 100% I agree with you, but we have to start educating ourselves and how they're doing these things in the first place.
Yeah, Keith, because that first has to become the real problem. the schooling is the real problem, you know. And if you start to just look at how the Board of Education was put together by the Rockefellers with the assistance of the Rothschilds, then you already know right away that it's benevolent, that is malevolent in its overall foundation and root. So every root that comes from that foundation does what? Starts to feed the overall fruit of despair. It's going to grow the bush, and then the bush turns into a tree, and then the tree will bring about the fruit of despair. And then what happens is society, statistically and socially, we start to partake from that overall fruit of despair. And then that fruit now starts to energize our thoughts, because it gives us energy. It energizes our movements, our relationships. And so it's a whole process. It's a real, real, real process, because we have to replace the system with a new systematic system that is very benevolent, in my opinion, and very and is based off collective prudence.
It's also based on, because again, I have to say that, say this again with a disclaimer, Dave, is we are all God's children. But again, as a people of color, we have to do things differently because we sit in this boat by ourselves. And what I mean by that, again, is because in order to do these things that we're doing, we have to come to a self-recognition of who we are, where we come from. Others don't have to do that. But we do, because as a people, we suffer from an inferiority complex so bad that it cripples us to achieve the things that we have to achieve just to get on the level that they've already started at.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Keith, you said something, you know, we're all God's children. But, and, you know, in so many instances, we're all God's children, but we've married the devil.
Absolutely.
You know, we've really married the devil. So, all right, so we're going to jump into today's show. I got everything squared away, and so we're going to jump into it. So let's go into what's in the news. First article that I posted for today's show, a great opportunity is coming, so let's start building for it now. This is from the Good News Network. Watch a trucker use his vehicle to block traffic so a stranded motorist can move to safety. And, you know, these are all some of our capabilities to do something to assist someone that may not even have asked us for help, but we can see the dire situation that they're in. You know, it doesn't just take a dangerous situation for us to get involved with each other. It should be a situation of at every opportunity we should try to seize that moment to be assistance to each and all. You know, so very, very important. So check out that. Just wanted to start it there. Next article. Got this one from, of course, this one's, okay, there we go. Next article, got this one from New York Times. Global growth cools. I hate when they use two of this. Global growth. You know, come on, man. If you got global, use another word for growth. Global growth cools. Leave scars of 2008 unhealed. Very, very significant. Very, very significant. So, check out that article. Next article. We got this one from RT International. And boy, I hate that Scotty had to go do something real quick because he would have liked this one. Drug busting Duarte smokes pot to keep him awake. You know, Duarte is the celebrity figurehead president of the Philippines and was going around judiciously killing people that was involved in the drug trade and everything else. So now he's talking about how much, you know, he smokes, and he said it was a joke. But now he talked about other drugs and everything else. But he says that he smokes to keep so that he smokes weed to keep him awake. And
keep him awake.
Yeah, to keep him awake. I man, just crazy. So check out that
he smokes marijuana to keep him awake.
Yes.
Since one was marijuana stimulant.
Man, Keith, you'd be surprised. They got different forms of it now, Keith. I didn't know either until somebody told me. So, yeah, they got all different forms of it, Keith. So,
okay.
Yeah, Keith said, okay.
Well, let me shut up. It's the area. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not your area, but still laugh at it. It's still good. So, all right. So, Keith talking about the weed from his generation didn't keep people awake. It put them to sleep. So next article from Awakening Times. New research shows that you are literally wired for maximum human potential. Of course, that's so true.
Yeah.
Very, very true. So check out that. Next one, I put a quote in. And this is a quote from Andrew Jackson, so-called celebrity figurehead president of the United States of the past. And quote, here's what he said. Quote, "You are a den of vipers. I intend to root you out. And by the eternal God, I will root you out. If the people only understood the rank of injustice our money and banking system, in our banking system, there would be a revolution before morning." Andrew Jackson. So, excuse me.
Andrew Jackson.
Yes, he was kind of famously. Quite a long time ago. He's kind of famous for his anti-banking stance and everything else. We're going to do a show on that one day, but it's all. But what he said there, and so much in the importance of it, is very, very significant. One more time, he said, "Quote: You are a den of vipers. I intend to root you out, and by the eternal God, I will root you out. If the people only understood the rank injustice our money and banking system, there would be a revolution before morning." So true,
Dave. I'm sorry, but you have to put that in a little more perspective too. So when he wrote that, that was before the formulation of the Fed.
No. Yes and no. From the Fed that they admit to now, yes, it was before that.
That was until what? 1918.
That was until 1913. So to speak.
Okay. So that's almost 80 years after he said that.
Yeah, right. But the overall banking system has been in existence. It was the root essence of the transatlantic slave trade. It was the root essence of the Knight Templars. It was the root essence of historical manipulation.
Sure.
It was the root essence, and it was where slavery started. It was really under banking guidelines.
Yeah, I understand that. You're right. I'm just saying that he said that before all this stuff, because in the United States and stuff, they didn't really get their stranglehold on us until 80 years after he said that. So that was his attitude then. Imagine what he would say about it now.
Yeah, their stranglehold really became a gripping factor at the Constitutional Convention itself.
In the 1700s.
Yes, at the Constitution, there was a deal and an offer that was made to in the Constitution, and that the Constitution is really a banking contract.
And that's where you get the United States Corporation.
So it's been around. It's been the same evil, the same den of vipers. But from the Federal Reserve standpoint, right, Keith, from what you were saying, from what is known as the private organization as the Federal Reserve, yes, you're absolutely right. 80 years before that.
Or so. And the IRS, if I didn't call for it.
Yeah, yeah. Because all of that was suffocation. That was all post-suffocation. So, yeah, so true. Next article, man, Keith, the major, major one, and we may have to take a look at this one in today's show. From Strategic Culture, Putin initiates a trilateral summit with India and China. Huge, 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 huge. So I'm going to tell you why this is so huge.
You're looking at world domination.
Right, Keith. Could Should I interject something? No. Chief is absolutely right. And but the significance of that, remember with the, from the congressional committee that was put together to evaluate the overall readiness of the U.S. military. Remember when we read that, when they said that the U.S. will potentially lose the next war if it fought Russia, if it forced China, in the next state war that it fought. I'm going to get it set up and I'll reread it. The U.S. has the potential to lose that war. Well, this is significant because they talked about in that if they were going to war with China or with Russia. They didn't set it up as if they were going to war with China and with Russia
simultaneously.
Right. But now it's going to be a measure of going to war with China, Russia, and India.
And to put that in perspective, as ridiculous as that sounds, because before we were looking at China, mm-hmm. Russia, and North Korea, but even North Korea doesn't compare with India.
No.
So what you're talking about is just absurdities. I mean, we can't even comprehend that.
No. I think that the U.S. would struggle to beat those individual countries by themselves.
I think that they would do more than struggle. They couldn't beat them.
I agree with that, but you know, Keith, I try not to say exactly what I feel on the show, but you don't have a problem with doing that, only because I like to leave it up to the people. Yes, in my opinion, they would lose, you know, handily to any one of those individually. So definitely a major problem. So, and it's all being admitted. It's not, and I formulate that opinion from the overall evidence that's apparent if you just look.
You know what, Dave, and I'm sorry, I gotta clap back to what you said against Matt. But in the same way that you're saying it, because you said that you don't want to form anybody's opinion, I don't have a problem with that. Unfortunately, that's true. But the reason why I feel as if that's true, and that's probably part of my theological background as well. Because, Dave, goddamn, we walk around with blinders on our eyes 24/7. The whole world knows what's going on except for us. And we want to walk around 24/7 with these blinders that we convince ourselves of what is not.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's be realistic in this. What you got done talking about is a classic example of what I've talked about. The fact of the matter is you're looking at the three huge things that we can't even take care of ourselves. And the bottom line is, and why I get excited about this, is because I was talking about somebody the other day about the military. As a matter of fact, it was a couple of months ago, even before that other article came out. I said, look, get real.
Yeah.
This bullcrap that we're talking about in our military, get real.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, forget the military.
Yeah.
Forget the military, Dave. A cyber attack on this country will all but do us in without dropping a bomb.
Yeah, so true.
So you start talking about the cyber attack and the military and the multiple fronts and everything else, and we're still running around talking about the greatest nation on earth.
That's the propaganda.
And I I might talk too much.
No, keep your spot on.
But I'm so sick of people denying, you know, we're running around in this make-believe bubble that the United States has lived in for how long?
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to saying, eventually, we're going to have to wake up and smell the toast.
Yeah.
But hopefully, we'll smell the toast.
You're right.
Before
it's all right.
The bombs dropped on our heads.
Yeah, that's all right. It's all right. Yeah, Keith, you know what? Man, well said. Keith the Baptist, are you done? You know, they had John the Baptist, and now we got Keith the Baptist. Are you done, Keith?
I'm done.
All I have to say is that I agree with you 100%. And you're, and I'm glad because that you have that approach to it, because there's a moral obligation that I think that you are adhering to with that. And I think that it is critical, especially, you know, anybody that's listening to Tando Radio Show, they're listening to Tando Radio Show for one reason only, is that because it resonates with them. And the people that may not, it may not resonate with, is because they may just be new to it. Someone may just be introducing Tando to them and so forth and so on. And then they may start to have some resonance from that there. But just because the most important thing is that we do speak about it, but it really is about what is the ears going to do about what they hear. Are they going to just listen? Are they, you know, more than, are they going to just hear, or are they going to listen? And there's a big difference. And listening brings about an action. Hearing just gives a consideration. It's a big difference. And I hope that from the listeners, and I'm glad that you have the approach that you do, Keith, because it's so, so important, because it really always has to come from, you know, from the overall truth of where we really are in pushing out, okay, now this is the situation, is not an end to everything, but there's definitely some things that you need to do, or else the momentum of what is facing us will run you over, you know, ignoring it. You can ignore reality, but you can never ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. You know, the consequences is always going to get you. And so that's why Keith the Baptist is in our midst. And is the, so never, ever hold your tongue, Keith. You know, even if I'm in the middle of a sentence and you jump up and stuff. So, but it's quite all right. You know, you startled me enough. I'm used to it now. So, but we need to do that. So, Keith, but we're gonna go on. Check it, because we want to get into definitely today's show, and I'm gonna definitely want to hear your input on this very, very important show. Next article. This one comes from The Hill, and it says our deficit may finally be coming home to roots at $20 trillion, and that deficit is the U.S. actual deficit is far, far worse than that. It has no choice. It is already come up. See. It's not coming, it's already here. It's not that we're losing, we already lost so much. We're not going into a Great Depression. We've already been depressed, you know, because we still, because remember what Scotty said before and talked about with the French, you know, when he laid out what's going on in France, the austerity measures and just the government safe nets and everything else. Well, those overall things are actually to hide the overall true state of the economy from the general people, so they won't do something about it and demand some change. So if you don't have the overall government assistance programs, you would really see the economic conditions of this country. Remember, over 50% of children in this country is on government assistance. Remember, if there was an eviction, if there wasn't a process in evicting people, remember if there wasn't some forms of government, the overall economy wouldn't be able to be hidden that way. They would have to come up with a different way to hide it. But what does that do? Just because someone is hiding something means that it is still present and it's still there. They're just concealing its overall presence from you. It still exists. So that's really where we are. Next article. This comes from Philly.com. Keith has an article he wants to share as well. Housing has peaked, and here are the reasons the market is cool. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Russia has 60 days to fix compliance with INF or U.S. will quit. That's what celebrity figurehead Pompano said. Doesn't matter. Next article from Sputnik News. U.S. stock slump as Dow falls nearly 800 points on yesterday. Check it out. Next article from Criminals Nothing But Criminal News. Special Counsel Mueller files a sentencing memo for ex-Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Check out that article. Next article from Sovereign Man. Three strikes against Social Security already. Move this down. Already a dismal batting average. Check out that article. Three strikes against Social Security, already a dismal batting average. Check out that. Next article from Criminals Nothing But Criminal News, commonly referred to as CNBC, one of Keith's favorites, Cuba to roll out mobile internet for the first time. And that's what's in the news. So we're going to jump into today's show. And from going to jump into it now, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Okay, got you, Scotty. So what we're going to do is that, and I'm glad Scotty is back. So what we're going to talk about is that I think that we have some great opportunities coming, and I would like for us to start building now, and which we all have, and we all will. And so what I mean by that, I would love to talk about in this portion of the show, and we'll extend it as long as we needed to, and there's some other things that we could look at as well. But I wanted to pose a question to everyone. And there was something else, Keith, before I do that. What was the other article that you showed me, the first one, about Russia?
I was talking about that they were saying that Russia pulls out of this arms.
If the U.S.
What did I say?
You said Russia. Russia
if
pulls
China
out.
Pulls out of this arms.
China's not in it.
If the United States.
You see,
Russia
see,
was
see,
saying.
That's why I was going to get him to remind me of something. You see what I had? Okay, so go ahead.
If Russia said, the United States pulls out of this arms, this global arms deal.
INF. Uh-huh.
Then every place that we have missiles, et cetera, and any countries that we have them in, they will be targeted, which only makes sense.
Of course. So, but that's going to be the overall mantra or the overall marching banner that's going to help to move this World War III into full declaration of war. And you're going to see it in the Ukraine and in Syria and other places. So, yeah.
Because along the same lines, if you look at the United States, and you pointed this out, if you look at the United States' attitude with the waters, the Navy, et cetera, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
the United States controls all the waters of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to have a fit, like you were saying, the China Sea.
Unrighteously so, right.
You know,
the South China Sea.
Well, the world's like, you know, nix that. We had enough of this bull crap.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing.
Yeah.
You want to have these military installations all over the world surrounding all these countries, but yet you don't allow anybody to do anything near what you're already doing.
If it doesn't benefit your overall hegemony.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice. And you already said you're nationalistic, so you basically already said, you know what, we care about us, we don't care about you.
Right. And we'll enforce that with a bomb and with military engagement, sanctions, and everything, which is always an act of war. And so you have to remember, and the way I'm thinking about it is that every time the U.S. has all of the sanctions that they've had against countries, here's what's going to happen. All of those sanctions are going to be recognized as an act of war. And when the U.S. loses the war, guess what those countries are going to be able to have rights to? They're going to have rights to being to actually be redeemed of what was lost from that. So it's going to be war reparations.
Dave, can I say something to you?
So, yeah.
So, like, a lot of people don't know this, but it's almost like a civil court's trial.
Yeah.
Now, people don't realize that when you go to civil court, right? When you go to civil court, let's say, like, I'm going to get back whole for a loss you made me encounter.
Right.
What people don't realize is that when you wreck my car and it costs $2,300 to fix my car.
Right.
When I take you to civil court, I'm not taking you to court for
$2,300. No.
I'm taking you to court for every amount of gas that I got that cost me going back and forth.
Yep.
The insurance phone calls and everything else, everything that is associated with
that
loss,
right?
You got to pay for all of that.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen with this war.
Right, exactly, Keith. And so all of those sanctions that the U.S. and they're going to go and it's going to go back to all of that. And that is going to lay claim to the untied states of America. The untied states of America, because they're going to go into receivership. They won't be able to pay. because they sanctioned how many countries? And what
everyone.
was the economic detriment and harm that was caused to that country? It's all going to come back. It's all going to come back. And we probably need to do a show on that to see the dynamics of that a little bit later. But Keith, I really want to get into today's show. At any time you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Think about it. What are we going to want to do, you know, and what do we want to create? Because we have that ability and that power to do it. The one article was that, you know, that I had from Awakening Times, which says that new research shows that you are literally wired for maximum human potential. So what is our maximum human potential? Definitely isn't in the so-called civilized jungle that we live in. I'd rather be the wilds of the jungle than be the civil discord of death and destruction, because that's really what we have here in this so-called civilized world. It's far worse than and more criminally evil than brutal than than just nature itself. So what is our full potential? And so what are some of the things that we really want to change? And I want to just give an example as to some of the meaningful changes that I think, and I would love to hear from some of you, but that would be a real people's move instead of a systematic redistribution of power or a replacement of the system controlling everyone's lives, right? So I want to take the court systems. Let's take the court systems, for example. I'll keep when eyes closed up, yes, because he knows the extent of how corrupt that whole thing is. Number one, in the court system that we would have, I would much want the overall objective not to be a blind lady with holding a scales, because that's the system. The blindness means that it's blind to the people that it affects, and the scales are unevenly yoked to their favor only. So they're blind to justice, right? Justice should never be blind. Justice should be keen. Justice should be sharp of sight. Justice should actually be one in which that it is meek, and that it has an objective to reform, not to punish, to rehabilitate, not to enslave. And so some of the things that I would like to see in our system as we walk away from this system, when we walk away from this system, a system that we would bring upon, is I would like to see a justice system that has no lawyers, has no judges, because it has no figurehead. The people are truly represented, Keith, so that it will minimize the overall corruption. Because if you look at a judge and a lawyer, they're one and the same. So the deals are being made because these individuals see each other and have engagement in each other on a daily lives, in their daily professional lives. And in doing that, they broker deals with each other at the overall taking advantage of the system and the people that are so-called coming there seeking what they call justice. I don't think that we need justice. What it is that what we need is that we need decisive prudence. We need really decisive prudence. What is prudent and practical in this overall given situation? So one first thing that I would get rid of the judges and the lawyers. Because you know the old saying, if a client has hired themselves as an attorney, then the lawyer has a fool for a client, right? You remember that saying? Basically, if you're going to represent yourself in court, you know, the attorney has a fool for a client.
Yeah.
Well, see, in our system, in my system, I would want the individual to represent themselves because we remove the overall lawyer itself. I think that what has to happen is that we come up with a system where you would have people if someone is accused of something, of a crime that the people have designated as a crime, right? The overall general people have come together and designated this as a crime. Then what happens is that the actual people will be represented. And see, it's hard to conceive this because we've only seen the courtrooms, the judges, and everything else. And we say, well, how are we going to do this? Well, the thing is, first step to getting to how we're going to do it is saying that we need it. And then we can put the Lego pieces together to build it, right? So you have where you represent yourself, or you can have someone else represent you, right? That's not a lawyer. Okay? The legal proceedings are not necessary. There are no legal proceedings that are necessary. Because in a legal proceeding, every person is charged. And you're really guilty from being just charged. So what happens is that if there was something that you did wrong to property or to another person, that overall person or representatives of that person can come and bring forth the overall evidence that said you did do it or whatever it is, and you could bring forth evidence to say you didn't do it, witnesses and everything else. And who is to decide the outcome? The overall community itself. And the community should select individuals, and we should all have the duty to hear what's going on in our communities, and at any given time be called upon to be a part of the jury. Now, should you have someone to keep everything in order? Yes, but that person, which would replace the judge, keeps everything in order, but does not give instructions to the jury.
So they work as a facilitator, not an overseer.
As a facilitator and as an administrator. They'll set up how everything will be in accordance with an agreement of all, and to make sure that we have, you know, the overall where people will be heard in a fashion that is representing of everyone having their particular voice, and then let the people decide what that outcome is going to be. And in that outcome, I think it's more important for us to get away from the overall punishment and bringing pains and punishment to people, is that our overall outlook is to reform and to rehabilitate sincerely as much as we possibly can. Now, you're going to have some nuts.
Oh, my God.
You're going to have some people that are really gone. But see, in today's world, why are people really, really gone? Is it because of the overall systematic influence of what they have to endure daily? I'm pretty sure that that's really it.
Okay, I got to. First off, I'm going to have to put out
a disclaimer.
Yeah, because I am greatly biased.
Yeah.
I make no bones about being greatly biased. But to me, again, all of this is theological.
He's saying basically he voted for Hillary. I'm just saying. go ahead, Chief.
All of this is biblical. Because if you look at, and I make no apologize of who my Lord and Savior is.
Right.
But he's categorized in two areas that you're talking about. The two that he's categorized are two. Ready? Love and being judicial,
mm-hmm.
judgment,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly what you're talking about. So here's where the problem comes in, Dave. The problem comes in, I agree with you 100%. But in order for you to do that, you have to come up under the confines of his teaching and remove yourself from the process. Now, my point in that is, without him being there, if man acts on his own, he always, without exception, leads himself into destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because greed's always going to come into the process.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Self promotion and all of that always going to come into process. So with him, he says you got to be fair and you also have to be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to what you always say, talking about the spirit of the law as far as the judgment, the letter of the law.
Right.
We started out on the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
We started that way, Dave.
Yeah.
How is it that we're not there now? Because man always places himself in that picture, and that always turns to corrupt unless you constantly have your mind over here looking at that to keep you in a straight line.
Yeah.
So I agree with you 100%. I was look, our judicial system is jacked. Do you know that almost 90% of all cases are done with a plea bargain?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There is no justice in that.
No.
Okay, so I come in and you accuse me of a crime that I'm completely innocent on. As a matter of fact, Dave, you already know that I'm innocent on this. So what do you say to me? Well, Keith, I tell you what.
Gotta get my numbers up. And the background drop is I gotta get my numbers up.
Basically.
Yeah.
So here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna have to stay in jail, but if you just take a deal,
mm-hmm.
you can go home. But I ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you know, the
90%
the thing about it is that's why this system has to, we have to go in a different direction. I'm not saying that the direction that I said is the right one, but what we can all agree is that the one we have is unrepairable, and it needs to be dismantled and walked away from, because the profiteering,
it has to be burned.
Yeah, the profiteering involved in that system,
and that's without even getting into the prison system.
Right,
and everything. Nothing but slavery.
Right, right. Well, the whole system, the judicial system, is Wall Street, the auction of people.
Ultimately.
Yeah, the auction of people. So, yeah, and I think that Keith, you know, and what we're going to have to really look at is, as a society, is that what we need to build is going to take a lot of work. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be something for one person. It's going to take the overall, because what we're really talking about is that we're looking at the overall legacy of prosperity that we'll be able to share with everything, every living thing around us. Once we can start to respect ourselves, then we can start to respect others, and then respecting all the other living things among us. You know, the trees don't have the problems that we have. And we say, well, that's just a tree. It's a living entity.
Now, you said this coming from the disassociated states of America, right?
No, I said I was saying this from just as us as people collectively, right, throughout the world, needing to have a different relationships macro level.
Yeah, I thought you started out because you were talking about what's going to happen. And for this to happen, what you're talking about, you'd have to completely blow up the whole system.
And that's and that's how I think what we need to do. We definitely need to do that. And so we got Brother Davis that's in queue. We're going to go to Brother Davis before we go to the break. So we got 5 minutes before, so I just want Brother Davis to have that time, and probably we'll bring him, I don't know how, you know, because I know Brother Davis is going to bring some stuff, so we're going to definitely hear that. So Brother Davis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
It's always good, my brother. It's always good.
But listen, you hear the voice of the spring.
Absolutely. First, we got to understand humanity cannot save humanity. That means that no man's law can be uncorrupt. And that's why they designed laws. We have to understand that if humanity is going to be saved, it's going to have to be a unanimous decision by humanity. Because in reality, we have gotten so far away from the basic universal laws that have given life to Earth, far beyond our existence, are still in play. The only thing that throws them out is our subjugating ourselves to serve man, where we got away from serving the Most High. So if we think for a minute that we can make a law, that a man can make a law that cannot be corrupt by man, then we're actually putting ourselves on the same path what we're on now. It just take a little longer.
Right.
But if we design laws that in the beginning, let me give you a quick synopsis. In the beginning, what happened was spirituality was spread around the world through interaction. What does that mean? That meant that if we came to a foreign country to do trade, what the Africans would do was go to shore, lay a part of what they had to trade on the beach, and then go back to the boat. Those people on the beach would come out and say, okay, well, we could do something. We got this, and they got that. Let's see if we could find common ground. So they would lay what they had beside what the people bought, and they would go back into the woods. See, there wasn't no confrontation. It was an examination of what the culture had to give. And then when the Africans came back to the shore and they could literally converse, even if they couldn't understand each other, they knew peaceful people. And see, that's where we disconnect. I mentioned before about the United States and how old it's been and how long we've been in war. Do you realize that we are the only country and the youngest country? We have to serve a greater purpose, and the purpose that we serve has to go far beyond man, and it must be inclusive of humanity. I just wanted to add that, brother.
Yeah, tell him not to get off the phone. Ask him, how do you suggest that we start to do that?
You talking to Brother Davis?
Yes.
Pastor Key?
Yes.
Okay. Brother Davis, did you hear Pastor Keith's question?
Yes, I did, and it's a great question, Pastor Keith. I'm glad you asked it, because, see, we fail to realize that the greatest values that we have on earth were given to us freely. We have air that we have destroyed. We have water that we have destroyed. We have land that we have controlled by the egotists of oligarchy. See, we have to eliminate those things. Once we eliminate those things, we could freely give people back their water. Do you think that they would not serve a greater purpose if it was theirs and they knew it? See, most of the people now, they know if they go out and want clean water, they got to buy it. That was a given to us. See, we have to go further back than man coming into existence. Why? Because the laws of the universe have not changed. The only thing man has done is corrupt them. So if we think for 1 minute that we can return back to the system after we've escaped it, then we're returning back to the same subjugation. The best part about this whole ordeal that's coming is that it's going to give the feminine energy an opportunity to take its rightful place. And we have to understand, from far as long as you have known, feminine energy was a nurturing energy. Not only did it rejuvenate the universe, but it was a nurturing energy. And we have to give principle to the truth again. And the sad part about that is most people think, well, we're here to serve man. No, we're not here to serve man. We're here to make sure that this marble that we're on lasts for generations to come, instead of letting the people who are in charge now continue the destruction and the terraforming that is going on. So this here that's about to happen, and please believe me, it ain't going to be easy. This that's about to happen is going to come back to the natural resources. And when it comes back to the natural resources, it ain't about controlling them. Even when I said, when my family and I, we got together to buy this farm, we bought this farm.
Hold on, Brother Davis, hold on. We got to go to a commercial break. Hold on, because just remember when you with the farm. And so... So everyone, today is Wednesday. Didn't think we were going to get Wise Wednesday, but you got Wise Wednesday for sure, Brother Davis, Brother Davis. So listen, we're going to get ready to go to a commercial break. Brother Davis, hold on 1 second. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Today is Wednesday, and Brother Davis is called in, and once again, you see why whenever Brother Davis calls in, it's Wise Wednesday, even if it's on a Tuesday or a Thursday. So I want to get back to Brother Davis and then expand on what Brother Davis was saying. So Brother Davis was talking about his family getting the farm. So Brother Davis, if you would pick back up, please, the floor is yours.
Okay, now one of the reasons why we did this is because we wanted to be of service to the humanity that is going to be in need. And how can we better serve them than grow food? Now, the stipulation in our growing food will be simple. We will gladly give you what we have if you will involve yourself in the production. That means that you will get your worth through your work. We ain't trying to work people to benefit this your farm to become a multi-million-dollar business. Would we like to make some money from it? Absolutely. But we see what's coming down the line, and we know we'll better serve not only humanity but our own spiritual nature by preparing as best we can so we can help as many as we can. We have gotten away from the simplicity of life. Why? Because you have been subdued into thinking that all of these modern conveniences was making you a better quality of life. Well, now you know it has not. Now you know the ego has come in, and everybody that plays a role in making money literally sees you as a bank. Even the organizations that you trusted as your bank sees you as a bank. We have to wake up, because our children are going to be in the same perpetual system. And think about that for a moment. Is that really what you want? But we have to prepare ourselves so that once we get beyond the storm, and a storm is coming, how are we going to be able to organize ourselves so that we can literally defeat the violence of savage, of the violence of negative behavior and thought, and move closer to a harmonious environment where we can build on each other, because that's where our need is at. I know some of you are thinking about, what about the people who break the laws? Well, back in the day, they would send them to an island of an organized community. And if you didn't work, you didn't eat. So guess what? When they had their time served there, they came back prepared to work, because they knew that abundance of a group is greater than the abundance of a few. And you have to understand, you see that today. The few that have are not sharing. They don't even care. Think about that for a minute. Because when we stop caring about humanity, we have given up on ourselves. So do you think for a minute that this is easy, or me and my family are doing this here because we're trying to escape? The very things that are coming to you are coming to me. I just want to be in a position so that I can look at my grandchildren and say, this is the plan we used. If you follow this plan, you will at least have shelter, food to eat, and a plethora of knowledge. And that plethora of knowledge is not limited to anyone. I mean, for those of you who don't know, well, supplying your own water is not a simple task. You got to dig a trench. You got to put a pump. You got to lay a pipe. And I'm going to tell you something. It's been such an education and hard work that it's enduring. The woman that I chose, I had no idea of her true greatness. But I'm going to tell you, there had been some times when we woke up and this trailer that we bought is very nice, but you got to learn how to level it. You got to learn how to get water to it. You got to learn how to have heat when you need heat. And these are things that living in the city have taken away from you. So when you're stuck and you don't know how to deal with them, then you're looking for a system that's already subjugated you to make you a servant. Out here when you're on your own, when you are thirsty and you are hungry, you will go to the well and get some water, or you will put seed in the ground and get some food. It requires of you. And that is what the Creator wanted us to understand. We are spiritual beings living a human time-space existence. Thank you, Brother Dave. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, can I respond to you a little bit, Brother Davis?
Yes, you can. Hold on once. I got to take a call. My wife is calling. Hold on.
Well, in the meantime, hopefully you don't forget what it is that you were going to say. But from the Wise Wednesday, and you know, I'm going to. Well, I don't want to throw Keith off too much, so I'm not going to put too much.
Okay, I'm back, out. Brother Dave.
Okay, go ahead, Keith.
Brother Davis.
And you don't have to yell.
I'm sorry, I get excited. We are on the same page in a way, except I think the only difference that I see it, unfortunately, being the pessimistic optimist that I am, we would have to build from the bottom up, not from the top down. What I mean by that is if you go back to study Christian history, you'll find that they said that they knew the Christians by the love one from one another. How that was displayed is because they actually lived in communes. They lived together. They worked together. They shared everything, et cetera, et cetera, which is what I think that you're referring to. The only thing that I see, though, is whereas you said that where they used to take the criminals and send them off to an island and they had to operate from that point of view, I think just the opposite would have to happen. I think you'd have to take the people of like-mindedness that we're talking about, send us off to an island. We have to be isolated from everybody else because, unfortunately, again, what would have to happen is you'd have to take the people that understand these things, are willing to sacrifice for one another, sometimes to the detriment of yourself, but for the good of the whole, and go forth. And I think that's what you're referring to. Unfortunately, though, the masses will do that for a smaller period of time, and then you'll find the corruption coming in much faster because still, we're shaped in iniquity. So I agree with you 100%, but we'd have to be like Marcus Garvey. We'd have to get like-minded individuals, go off, start our own stuff, and build from there. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's actually what we're doing. You see, I understand exactly what you're saying, but that's actually what we're doing. Most of the people really want when you talk to them, they want to do this. But they live in a society that tells them that they don't have to. You don't have to be self-serving. And the reason why you don't have to be self-serving, and that's what they call it. You know why they call it that? Because they want you to think it's a selfish act. It's not. It's a preparation. It's a preparation for change. And I'm going to tell you something. I welcome anybody, Christian, Jew, Muslim, anybody of like-mindedness. We have to understand that separation only works for corporations. And until we come to that understanding, there are always going to be little fights based on what person finds herself to be more in line with what is the, should I say, the security of their spirituality instead of the simplicity of their spirituality. It takes nothing to say hello when you pass a person on the street, but try and see how many people you pass today to say hello. See, this, the teachings are there. I agree with that. But the people are not following them. So you have to have the examples before they realize, you know what, if I'm going to be a part of that, I'm going to have to make the adjustments necessary because they ain't accepting just anybody in that circumstance. And this is where we are. And regardless of whether we like it or not, we'll be in war in about 4 or 5 months. And regardless of whether we like it or not, that dollar's going to drop. And regardless of whether we like it or not, every city already has a blockade surrounding it. And somewhere along that blockade is a military facility that literally has militarized the police department. So until the people see themselves as humanity as one, we're going to be in this circumstance for quite a bit because not enough people are dying to them. And the sad part about it is the sacred part of life is living. So listen, brothers, it's a great show. I just wanted to add a little bit because I'm down here on my knees in the dirt, and I don't mind. I don't mind at all. I don't mind listening either.
Well, brother Davis, what you add to the show and what you added to today's show, so much that you said that is because of the environment in which has produced the overall choices that you have made, and it's exemplary, and it should be emulated, in my opinion, because we all have that same capability that you just displayed and articulated, because it was so true. Which you and Keith, what Keith said was so important, and of course when listening to you, it really did touch upon some of the true natures of and challenges that we will be facing, that we should welcome, because it's a great opportunity. You know, first, one of the things that I thought that was so significant in the many things that you said, but the one that is had grasped my spirit was when Brother Davis said, look at the overall, look at what the universe has already built. We don't need to replace that. We need to be in line with that. And that's so true. Look at what's already been naturally built. Look what the great creator has already created. And our alignment in that is necessary. And then when Brother Davis and Keith went back, and it was so important what Brother Davis said, and then Keith's response to it, and they were both in the same ideological trend. Brother Davis said that we need to you know, he gave the example of separating and showing someone to rehabilitate them, and Keith talked about the criminal going off somewhere. Well, we're in a society that everything around us is criminal. And what Keith is saying is that we have to remove ourselves from this system. And that's exactly what Brother Davis was saying, is that in order for us to get to where we're going, we have to remove ourselves and have a different engagement and a different relationship. And I thought that that was the asymmetrical approach to why we have the name of the show that we have today. Because I think that that is going to be the approach. Those are the approaches that we are going to have to articulate and then start to build. And then once we build them, then they can be duplicated. And it's so, so important from just from you two brothers and saying this and the sincerity of it all. It's in our best interest, because the universe is already built, was perfected. And we've had spent too much time trying to destroy the perfection of the spiritual universe, when we all need to do is just get in line and actually emulate and multiply that momentum, and then that will be perfect in itself. So, well said. I don't know if Scotty was back. He had to run and go somewhere. He said he wanted to chime in as well. So I just thought it was just priceless, the overall dialogue and just hearing the thoughts of you two brothers, and I think it resonates and it's seeded watered many thoughts of prosperity for us all. So my man Scotty's back. Scotty, you wanted to chime in, bro?
Yeah, it's just some things I had been thinking about that Brother Davis triggered again when he was speaking, you know, about corruption. And, you know, I kind of got this from Gus of the context of white supremacy, which comes on the Black Talk Radio Network. They had their own station leased through our nonprofit. But, you know, he talks about we need to cut down on using metaphors and what have you, and we need to be more accurate in our language, and because sometimes, you know, people say things, they use these terms, and they're very vague, and I don't know what you mean. You know what I'm saying?
And so, right, make it plain.
I was thinking about that when we say the system, and you know, the system, and what Brother Davis triggered is, you know, the corrupt. Well, who's corrupt? Is the system corrupt, or is it the people who are in the system? The system is people. And mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like, for example, let me put it this way. I don't think there's nothing wrong with the government in the county that I live in. Has a board of commissioners, it has a school board, it has a sheriff, it has a county police department. Okay, now just having that kind of setup is not corrupt in itself. What makes it corrupt is the people who work in those positions, because I mean You know, everybody hate cops until you need one. And look, I talk about slave catchers and what have you. But, you know, all of them ain't corrupt. You know, Dave, you a former cop.
Right.
Brother Keith, a former cop. All of them ain't. Some people really do go into that profession to help people. Other people go into that profession to be bullies. So I was just saying is we, I'm saying people are corruptible, man, and we have these flaws, this you know, just inherent flaw, you know, and I just feel like we always gonna be dealing with corruption. You know, I was studying, like, you know, for those that don't know, I have some Native American ancestors, Cherokee, which I don't brag about that or anything. Cherokee were slavers, okay? Not all of them, but some of them tribes were slavers and what have you, right? But when I was researching, you know, that side of my family, familial roots, I found out about the Mississippian culture, or nation. This existed from the Colorado Rockies to the East Coast, from the Florida Keys, not all the way to the Great Lakes, but, you know, sort of up east. And they had a political system, they had a religious system, they had trade routes and all of this and that. And really, you know, most of the Midwest and Eastern United States, they didn't create this place out of nothing. The infrastructure was already laid by the people who are already here. But what happened to that system? What happened to that culture? Well, from what I read, corruption, political corruption, religious corruption, which then gave the opening for those people to be conquered, you know. So I just wanted to share that. That might be a little off topic, but that's what I was thinking about.
No, it's not.
Davis was talking.
You know what, Scotty, man, I agree with you 100%, because Scotty gave it, when Scotty was talking, it gave me another, and this is why it's so important for us to commune with each other. What Scotty said was so true, and it really took me to a different spot that I hadn't thought about. That's why you need to speak with people. That's why you need to share your ideas. Scotty said there's nothing wrong with the system. There's nothing wrong with the governmental policies and procedures. Is those policies and procedures are being adjudicated by corrupt individuals, and that's so true. And that's so true. So even with actually reforming or bringing about a different reaction that we have, we may even want to use some of the same principles of this overall, what we have to deal with now, but we're removing the overall corruption. And as Scotty said, to strain the corruption out of the overall day-to-day process is going to be a tedious task. And you're going to have to be tight and being able to do that. So I think that Scotty, Brother Davis, you know, set it up very well. You did as well, Keith. But I think Scotty also put it in a position that is actually something that is obtainable, because you think about it, until we get better, until we are able to, you know, when you create a car, the first prototype is probably not going to, hopefully, meaning that you progress, is not going to be better than your car that you have 100 years later. Hopefully there's going to be some advancement in there. But what Scotty talked about for me is really fundamentally obtainable, is that we need to really focus on our strainers of corruption. And then from that, straining that corruption, then from that we can see what policies and procedures were actually not necessary. Because it's like the building is not wrong. The math is not wrong. It's the one that's accounting for it that is. You know, numbers don't lie. It's the overall person that's putting the data in that does. And so that's where the corruption starts. And I think what Scotty said is
is a very important part of us coming up with a better way to interact with each other, is that the focus really should be primarily, first and foremost, I would say, would be the first priority, or within the initial priorities.
Hey, Dave, let me add on to that. Here's a living example right now that's happening today and has been happening over the past couple of days. Except with few exceptions, that would be The Intercept, Democracy Now!, Global Research, which I was just reading an article somebody shared about the Highway of Death. Remember we talked about the Highway of Death in Kuwait?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who oversaw that? I just learned some stuff today. I knew about the Highway of Death because I was there. Okay. I wasn't there on the actual highway, but I was in country during that war.
You was in country.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I did not know that Bush, George H.W. Bush, the father, had told them that they would have safe passage to withdraw. And then
he sure did.
And then had them murdered. Okay?
Yep.
Now, this goes to show you how corrupt our system is. Clinton, Obama, all of these figureheads, as you call them, even Trump and them, praising this man like he was some kind of saint. All of the media coverage, CNN, MSNBC, NPR, all I've been seeing is, he had humor, he was funny, he was a decent man. I'm like, y'all are just lying. You're straight up lying.
Yeah.
Iran-Contra, the death squads, the stuff he did when he was part of the CIA, the stuff I just mentioned with Iraq. Do you know that he purposely bombed the civilian infrastructure, hospitals, water treatment plants, all of that, so that resulted in an untold number of deaths, okay, in Iraq because of the bombing of infrastructure. He did that on purpose, which is a war crime. He did that on purpose to have leverage over Saddam. So that's what I'm saying, man. Yep. This system is so corrupt, man. And the masses are so uninformed because they don't read. They rather be entertained than be informed. And they just going along with it. You know, even the people that's supposed to be so-called progressives and enlightened have been praising this man. So, you know, that's just an example. It's not the system per se, it's the people that's corrupting, that corrupts us.
Yeah. And you know what? Well, and I think that's a perfect example of using him, you know. And we could go on what he did. Look at the overall destruction of the communities through the overall drug trade, like Scotty said, through Iran-Contra. And how that extended into just the old disenfranchisement within the communities. And then, you know, killing Kennedy, all in part of that, having the overall Nazi mantra being reignited through the whole family, from his father Prescott down to all the way through to the semblance of it today.
In the world, the rest of the world knows of these crimes. They know that they're crimes.
Yes.
But these people never punished. They're never brought to justice. They're never prosecuted, which then just perpetuates more corruption, because the next guy going to say, well, he got away with it, I can get away with it too.
It's profitable. Crime pays. Exactly, Scotty. And I'm glad Scotty re-brought that up, because I think when we look at the overall, the priorities, part of our moral absolutes has to be inscribed in straining out corruption, because that's something that is a continuous process that you have to do. Regardless of we can't be a respecter of person. We have to respect people. So one individual, or their influence, or whatever they is, or the circumstances that they can bring about, is not a immunity to allow corruption to reign. So
Very, very, very important. Keith, did you want to chime in on something? Yeah. You know, Scotty, and that was really one of the fundamental things that I think that needs to be done is, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because it's the people. We have to have a no tolerance for corruption. And basically, you know, part of that actually, Keith, goes into nepotism as well. You know, that really forms into nepotism, you know, because now you're starting to have the overall influence that's using the public resources for private means.
I got something to add.
Yes, go ahead.
Because you brought up a different aspect. I agree with what you're saying. But not only the nepotism, it also has to do with this with the death tax.
Yes.
Because what happens is when these people are allowed to amass these fortunes and continue to hand them down to their children, that amasses fortune on top of those fortunes, which is easy to do once you get into that.
Or once you get that momentum.
Right. So now what that automatically leads to is a class of individuals that are better than everybody else on every aspect. So through that nepotism, because don't you know who we are? We are the Trumps. Right? So because, and I don't mean to say Trump specifically, but it happens with all the families.
Sure.
Because now at that point in time, they're given more rights in everything than everybody else is, simply because of who they are. So you're starting to see that in our politics. Why? Because we are these people.
Chelsea,
so we can put our sons-in-law, our brothers-in-law. Right. So now not only do we have all this power because of who we are, we have this power because we have circumvented the political process because of who we are.
Yeah.
So now, does anybody as an individual have a platform to go against these people? No, they do not. And that's globally. That's not just in this country. That's all the way through.
That's part of that corruption that we need to wean it, because people are corrupted. And I'm going to tell you, Scotty, really, really, and what you're saying, Keith, and what Brother Davis said, it's that's really the real threat to humanity is corruption.
Right. So what happens is when you say, as a matter of fact, I'm about to do one about faith and works.
Yes.
Is it about faith or is it about works? Well, you can argue faith, but I'm going to argue works. And the thing is, you can't argue neither one without the other.
Sure.
So what happens is it the system or is it the corruption of man? It's one and the same.
Sure. Sure.
Because if you started out with a good system, clear the bugs, you interject man is going to corrupt the system.
And you know what, and I'm saying that because what Scotty said about corruption is where we start. And that's a part that can really get us to a means to an end. And from what you're saying, so in dealing with all of the systematic processes that we have, they have to all be constrained through the overall strainer of corruption to weed that out. And then we can start to see the best productivity of the people. Because, you know, it's like you said, Keith, when you have the family wealth, then after so long, that family wealth is, if you look at a lot of the wealthy individuals, you know, historically, those that wealth has been derived by way of corruption.
Absolutely.
Has been derived by way of corruption.
Absolutely.
And so that needs to, because we have to get away from individualism and get into collectivism, collective prudence, and then that way, you know, because if you can only eat so much food before, if you have real nourishing food, to where you are now into overconsumption. But your body doesn't need to be overconsuming, because then now it becomes, you putting it into what? An unhealthy state. It just needs what it needs that makes you healthy. See, the spiritual world, the ecosystem, is void of corruption. It's void of corruption. We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. We'd love to hear from you all. Give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call in. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. In this last segment of the hour, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. So we were talking about, and what is your overall involvement in thoughts and energy so that we can start to construct and conscript some things that will be beneficial to us, because I think there's some great opportunities. And we've heard some great opportunities so far and some things that we should do. And man, that's really, really, really what we want to do, is to be recognized. Because, you know, when you think about it, Keith, when we start to magnify and use all of our talents collectively, we become just like the universe. We start to build real perfection, you know, because I think that's the overall, you know, spirit of the law that we are actually fulfilling and actually are creating, which is, I think, is very important for us to create the spirit of the law outside of the magnitude of the letter of the law. So I also wanted to add, you know, with some things, you know, with, like, and I've said this before, you know, I don't think that is that man was meant to police man, right? But just from that standpoint, because, you know, Scotty has said that there's some good firemen, there's some good police officers, there's some good this person and that person. Not every person in that position is corrupt. Some people actually go there with the overall intent to do the overall spiritual, you know, the actual, with the overall deed, the creed of what's been written, is they're going to perform it out in deeds, which, you know, they are sincere in that. And so, and I look at, I think what really is important in our public service area, in that type of, we're going to need that. And I think that the public service area should never be hired by a corporation. I don't think a corporation should ever be involved in hiring or establishing your public, what was I saying, Keith? Your public works, right? What I mean by, I don't think that if you're going to have and you feel the need for a police department, well, then those overall individuals that are going to be hired into those overall positions and actually take an oath into that position or appointed into that a position, because that's what a police officer, you know, from the overall creed of things is set forth, is that it's appointed. Right? It's appointed. The police officer is commissioned and appointed. And I think that commission and appointment is absolutely correct, but it no longer should be commissioned or appointed by a governor. It should be actually appointed and commissioned by the governing people. So I think that your public officials should actually be commissioned by the governing people. Directly. Case in point, let's say you have a police department. The department shouldn't have a process of hiring candidates. What should happen is that the people of that community where that police officer will work will establish a policy and process of hiring. So that overall individual has to appeal to who, Keith? The people, in order to be hired. So that the people will choose, okay, this person has the right temperament. This person is who we want. This person has the overall capabilities and the disciplines to do what's necessary. This is the person that we trust. And so then that overall candidate now doesn't have overall inroads to the overall hiring outside of going to the people. So they're going to have to just, case in point, if you know that the department or this place is hiring and you know how their hiring process, what are you doing? You are actually invoking yourself to be accepted by that overall department. And by doing that, you'll be willing to do what they really want you to do. So what are you going to do? You're going to find out what you need to do to get that job. Correct, Keith?
Sure.
Same thing with this process, but now it's going to be the governing people. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to find out what, Keith? What the people want. And if that aligns with you, you'll see a different candidate than you would in the current ways that you have it now. Because some of those things aren't appealing. When the people want a individual that has discipline, it knows when to use the only force necessary to effect a legal arrest. Now in the department now is not knowledge, it's kicking boots, it's you force your way and you tell the people what to do and this and that. There's a different mentality that you'll start to attract. You get where I'm saying, Keith?
Absolutely.
And so if we have where the governing people, then now what happens is that Keith will be a chief, Keith for chief. Instead of having this other person for chief, because they've already made a deal with the system where they know what that's what they want. And that's very, very, very important, because until we start to take control of what is very important and significant in our lives, instead of giving them to someone else to do, when we take charge in that overall mannerism, we can at least think that we can facilitate the rightful outcome that we want to see, instead of having blind faith.
Okay. So what that means is, and here's the whole problem with the argument,
mm-hmm.
which is the whole problem with my argument, which is the whole problem with Scotty's argument, right? I agree with them all 100%, and they're all wrong, but they're all completely right.
Right.
And everything you just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between what you said and the democracy? What you said was a democracy. Everything should be brought out by the people, for the people. The people make the decisions and all these things, right? Which is what we have. But what do we have? We got everything but a democracy.
Because of corruption.
Because of corruption. So it goes.
So what Scotty said.
Exactly. So it goes all the way back around to what I was saying,
mm-hmm.
right? Faith without works,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't have neither without neither. And they're all connected in such a way that it's going to lead to the other. So you got to constantly have a build-up, tear-down system, because the system is going to be corrupted for a multitude of reasons.
But see, what Scotty was saying is that you have to emphasize screening out that corruption so that you can maintain, so you won't have to tear down what is unnecessarily, what's not really needed to be torn down, because it's not that that the overall building is wrong. It's just those that are executing it is what's wrong.
Well, yes and no,
mm-hmm.
because those that are executing it are changing the system. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the system's there and the system's straight and we're corrupted inside the system. No, our corruption changes the system. I'll give you an example.
I think he was saying is that, and what Scotty was saying and what I was reiterating what Scotty was saying is that we need to focus on corruption. That way the corruption doesn't warp.
Sure, if you can do that.
Right. Well, that's where emphasis.
Sure, if you could do that.
That should be a moral absolute in establishing.
It should be.
Yeah.
And what I would say, though, but you can't really make that argument because now our system is corrupt.
Yes.
It's not just corrupt individuals in the system. The system itself is corrupt. You remember I told you that 90% of the cases are done by plea bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the system,
mm-hmm.
right? That's no longer, that's not a corrupt person doing that. That's a corrupt system that has corrupted because of corruption.
Hey,
of man.
Hey, so, Keith, so, hey, Keith, I disagree. I think it's all the same. But, point, Keith. Here,
but what really what I was emphasizing was that when you screen and you focus on corruption, then you don't have a plea bargain primary.
Well, yes and no. And the reason why yes and no is because all of this doesn't start with corruption. A lot of it, you know that old adage, the road to hell is paved by what?
Good intentions.
Good intentions. Right? That means that we started on this road to hell not because we were corrupt and we were trying to be corrupt. It was because we were trying to do something good, and because of that, it eventually led off to the path in the mm-hmm. first place.
Hey, so Keith, can you hear me?
Yes. That one talk for Scotty.
Yeah, Keith, listen. We can't say that about the United States government, nor the governments that preceded it, the colonies. We can't say that. Because this was founded for wealthy Anglo-Saxon men on slavery and stealing land.
Well, hold on, Scotty, stop. Well, as soon as you said that, and Keith just jumped back and said, no argument. So,
but
go ahead, Scotty, finish what you were saying.
Now, what I was saying is, you know, the example he was using about the plea bargains, how many people plea bargain as opposed to going to trial. You know, that's something we talk about on New Abolitionist Radio. We encourage people to go to trial. If you didn't do it,
right.
Don't get scared. You know, do you want to admit to doing something that you didn't do? That's how them plea bargains come across. Now, it's not the courthouse. It's not the building that's doing that. That's the prosecutor who's going to stack charges on the individual. You know, Dave, how they come up, like they yep. might catch yep. you with one joint. But then they'll yep. manufacture a whole bunch of other charges based off of that one offense. They call it stacking charges. And the whole point yep. of stacking charges, the whole point yep. of a prosecutor stacking charges is to coerce you into taking a plea deal. They'll say then, well, we'll dismiss this, that, and the other if you plead guilty to this. Okay?
Yep.
And so that's the person. Correct. And then you got the corrupt defense attorney saying to the defendant, who he's supposed to be representing their best interests, and they'll be like, yeah, I think you should take that deal from the prosecutor. That's how you end up with 90%, you know, plus yep. plea bargain. It's because of the people. It's the people, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's partly true. And trust me, I'm not bringing up these points just to be
negative,
right?
No.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but after I was a police officer, I was a what?
A bailiff.
A bailiff. So I got the. So what happens is the police are on one side of the judicial system, and the bailiffs and stuff on the other side. I got to see from both sides. So let's forget the police and the stacking of charges and all those mm-hmm. things that you're exactly right. Let's forget about the fact that 90% of all them are plea bargaining, and we encourage them to go to trial, right? Okay, that's cool too. But now I'm on the other side as a bailiff. Oh my God. The stuff that you see on TV, I've seen people get sent away for 70, 80 years consistently without a scrap of evidence.
Yeah.
So even when you go to the trial, I've seen, look, they have determined that over 50% of child molestation cases. And I hate those with a passion. But when you get into how those things work, and the studies have shown that they have found that over 50% of those things aren't true, even though it's a huge problem. So what we'd like to do is to say it's a huge problem, we blanket it with everything that's nasty, do away with it. But over 50% of those things, I've seen people get put away when there was was no evidence. As a matter of fact, all the evidence was stacked up against the other way. Sure. But what they did is they said, look, you saw that child.
Right,
and they
right.
played on the emotions on these people. And these people are getting sent away for a lifetime.
From coercion.
With no evidence.
And you know what, Keith? And I think that exemplifies this whole show is that really when you think about it, corruption, it actually breeds at the speed of light.
It does.
It breeds at the speed of light.
And again, I hate to bring this up, but understand this. Listen. I spent time in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
the Army,
mm-hmm.
the Marine Corps,
mm-hmm.
23 years as a police officer,
right.
2 years as a bailiff. I spent my whole life as a servant to our society.
Right.
With that being said, as a black man, understand this. Nothing scares me more than to stand in front of a white judge or a judge in our court for anything. So we go back to that saying, you know what, brother? If you ain't done nothing, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Nothing scares me more than to have to stand in the court system for anything.
Because it's the seed of corruption.
It has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with evidence. I mean, sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But nothing scares me more because it's completely Russian roulette.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more pointed. Is directed. And so the corruption is directed. And I definitely, man, we're going to have to get ready to get out of here. Great, great show. Just thanks for the input from you, Pastor Chief Scotty, Brother Davis, and those. Let me make sure we didn't have any other, no other callers. And I think it's really something in which to build on, because we're going to have to, we're going to rebuild. There's going to be a great opportunity for us to rebuild. And I've learned a lot in just from listening to you brothers and just getting the overall energy from the listeners itself, you know, because, you know, you can feel it. And so I just thought that this was a very, very important show, because that's what's so great about it is that, you know, the system, I mean, the overall, what we're going to continue to endure, there's going to be an opportunity for us to change it to a more holistic way that best benefits not only you as an individual, but not you as an individual first, but the overall collective good of all is really what our overall focus in our overall objective should be. And in doing that, the thing that threatens it the most is corruption. Corruption is the clear and present danger to achieving the overall benevolent objective of liberty. It really, really is. So I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Great show, Keith. And I just got to say, you were jumping up and down. But the funniest part is when Scotty said, now, wait a minute. When they came over here, this country was established for the wealth. You should have seen, Keith. He fell back into the chair. I said, uh-oh, he's about to go through my wall. So great, great show. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.